Let's pray that God would open his word to us. Oh Lord, help us this morning. Help us to hear your word. Help us to take it in. And Lord, guide us as to who you want us to be. Rekindle our desire to follow you as our King. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 33rd verse on this Christ the King Sunday, looking for our King. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And am I reading the right part? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, Today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A lot's happening in the shift of this week. Next Sunday is actually the first Sunday of Advent. It happens most times this way that Thanksgiving happens, and immediately that Sunday after is Advent, and the decorations go up, and we make this tremendous shift as we start to prepare for Christmas. In the Christian year, Advent marks the beginning of the whole year, which makes today the final Sunday in the Christian year. And as I spoke last week and alluded to just a little ago, and as we sang about as well, this Sunday has come to be known as Christ the King Sunday. It's like wrapping up the whole liturgical year, the celebrations of Easter and Pentecost and all the other movements of the year, to finally ask the question, who is Jesus to you? We emphasize so much that he's our Savior, that he saves us from our sins, but there's that other piece when we say Lord and Savior. There's that piece of his being our Lord, our King. And so in many ways, this Sunday is trying to wrap up the whole package, tie it together and say, are you ready to follow him as Lord and King? It's a question to the church. It's a question to the faithful. And so every year there's a passage that one can read, and there's a variety of them, about how Jesus is King. And today we read a passage that almost sounds ironic, that he's a king, but yet he's being crucified. Each of the encounters outside of the people who simply watch, each of the encounters, whether it be the rulers, the religious rulers, or the soldiers, or even one of the criminals, each of them are about, hey, Jesus, save yourself. If you're the king, if you're the Christ, save yourself. And what we find here is that there's a concept of king in our minds that is ultimately distorted. It goes way back to the beginning in the garden. The evil one, the serpent, has always worked in such a way of distorting reality. Taking what we know to be true and shifting it just so. Pulling it off a little. Such that the image, the original image, is distorted. The serpent says to you, did God really say you're not supposed to eat of any tree of the garden? You know, this whole distortion of, well, they were allowed to eat, but there was one tree they weren't supposed to eat of. And then saying, well, God knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God. It's distortion. And we see that distortion continue to play out throughout the scriptures, such that when it comes to the idea of kings, the people of Israel themselves struggle. You see, when they were brought out into the promised land, they were cared for by God as their king. God led them out of Egypt with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud at night. God was their king. And when they got established in the promised land, whenever there was a real need, God would raise up what was called kind of a judge, a governor, to kind of help them through the tumultuous times. And there were judges, and they continued to fail and struggle, but the final judge was Samuel. And then when Samuel got old in age and his two sons weren't cutting it, they were distorting and taking advantage of their privilege, the people came to Samuel, looking at the communities around them and everybody else who had a king, and they said this. In the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. Of course, Samuel wasn't happy with this request, took it before God, and God said, hey, it's not about you. They're rejecting me as king. They're rejecting me. Give them what they want. Let them have a king. But when you do so, tell them what this means. So Samuel told the people, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. The concept of king becomes a distorted one. Everyone is for the king so that the king can rule over the people. Even now, we are a country with a DNA that kind of puts off kings. The idea that kings are for themselves in the end. If you play the game of chess, all those pieces on the chessboard, the one piece that you have to concern yourself about over all the other pieces is the king. You can lose any number of pieces. You can sacrifice pieces to the greater good of the board. There's one piece you cannot lose or the game's over, and that's the king. The concept we have of king is a distorted one. The concept of king is one that preserves oneself, saves oneself, that everyone else is for the king. And so when Jesus is there on the cross, when you think about this, when the gospel writers went to write down what happened, when they pored over those events in their minds, not simply just narrating, like you and I sitting down and narrating the activities of a day. Well, then this happened, then this happened, then this. No, they've processed it. And they've realized what played out. 3 separate groups or entities, all playing with this idea that if you are the Christ, if you are the King, if you are, then save yourself. You're the final piece on the chessboard. Save yourself. The inverse of that is if you can't save yourself, then you clearly aren't the king. Because in the end, the king is what matters. It's final. And our concept of king is one that ultimately lives for oneself. Monarchies even today that exist today are quick to work hard to help the people see that they're not living for themselves, and yet the people still resent them while admiring them, while watching over them, but yet resenting them. It's a mess. All the royal watchers, palace intrigue, the Game of Thrones. It's a distorted idea of king. The rulers, those who would guide us in the faith. They mock him. They point out, hey, he saved others. Let him save himself. It's the same game we play. In the pantheon of gods out there that people are wondering who to follow and what to follow, we have this whole arrangement of discussion with people, whether or not Jesus is of enough value to follow. Can he give me enough? Is he worth enough? Can he do this? He saved others. Can he save himself? The problem is that Jesus, the way we would make him as a people, as a person who would create our own religion, isn't the person we'd create. He doesn't come off. Yeah, he may help others, but when it comes to himself, he doesn't exhibit what we'd expect. So even the religious leaders said, hey, he saved others. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ. All challenging all that Scripture had said about who the Christ would be, that all authority would be his. Well, if all authority is his, what's he doing on the cross? And the question comes back. Who do we really say he is? Will he really be Lord of our lives? The next group is a group that questions power. Kingship is all about power. The soldiers, if you are a king, save yourself. Kings are about power. Kings are about having ultimate power. Sometimes it's hard to read the Old Testament. There's king after king after king, all these different kings of all these different things. And sometimes you realize a king is someone who's just a king of a village, the ruler of a village. Other times we think of a king as a ruler of a whole vast empire. It's hard to know what size king you're dealing with sometimes when you're reading in the Old Testament. But it's always back to power. And again, the power of this king is on a cross. If you really are a king, save yourself. As the sign above him says, King of the Jews, mockingly. Isn't that our struggle sometimes? When dealing with friends and neighbors who question why we have the faith we have. You know, if your God is so great, how come this happened? And how come that happens? How come this bad thing is going on in your life? Is your God so great? Oh, he must love you a lot. He's letting this happen to you. All exhibitions about whether power is being shown or not. Whether you got a good enough genie in your lamp. What do we mean when we call him Lord? The power that's being exhibited is far different. It's a distorted power that they speak of. But independent of the rulers and the soldiers, perhaps the most cutting is the criminal beside him, who really voices that inner voice of each of us. You really are the Christ. Save yourself and save us. I'm on the point of death here. I don't have time to mess around anymore. Everything else is out the window. It either is or isn't. If you are who you say you are, save yourself right now and save us too. Isn't that the game we play with God sometimes? If you are really who you say you are, please save me from this. Show yourself. The other criminal looks over and says, do you not fear God? Can you not see that we're here justly condemned? And yet this one has done nothing wrong. And he begins to paint a different picture of King, a less distorted one. A picture of King that goes back to what Jesus said at the beginning when I asked, am I reading the right thing? Did you catch me say that? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Samuel, way back when they said, we want a king, give us a king like others. And he's distraught, and God says, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. Give them what they want, but make sure they understand. This time, God's answer is different. This time, God's answer is forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are forever presented with a distorted view of what a king is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is not about saving himself, but about saving us. And goes to the cross and to his death for us. The true mark of a king is a Savior who is Lord. When we say Jesus is Lord and Savior, we're acknowledging that he saved us, but we're also acknowledging that we follow a very different kind of king. A king that calls us to sacrifice as well, to let go of the claim of self for the sake of others. To be willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. To take the measures of life of saying, well, I don't know if they deserve that. They've done all these things. I don't know if I'm not going to sacrifice that. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do because they live in a distorted lens of the world like we have as well. We are called to follow a very different king. All power, all authority, everything is his, and he laid it all down for you, for me. Save yourself and save us as well. The irony, he was doing just that, saving us by giving himself up. And what did he say to his disciples? Take up your cross and follow me. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to follow him, Lord of life. All power and authority is his, and our following is in the same sacrificial steps. If you are the king, then our life needs to change. Let us do so. Let's pray. Help us, O Lord, to follow you. Help us to give up our claims and see your lordship for what it truly is. And as we follow you, O Lord, may you remember us in your kingdom, that we may be with you, giving glory and honor and praise to the Lamb that is worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.